Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Life in the Wick podcast. I'm Tiffany Spaulding, and you are joining us for the number 3 podcast in the 12 Rules for Life podcast series. So welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. If this is your first time, one of the things that you need to know is that we do publish this, both podcast and video, and there's a blog post as well, which is going to include downloadable printable notes and also a worksheet. So if you're really interested in changing your life, there's some simple tools there that will, on the blog post, that will help guide you through. And there's links galore above, below, left, right, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening. Check for those links and you'll be able to get the downloads. They're totally free. So this is rule number 3, which is make friends with people who want the best for you. I am joined in the studio today by my good friend, Kate Day. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Tiffany. I'm so excited to be here. This is a first for me for podcasting.
Yay! I'm super excited that you are here, and I'm really excited that we are doing rule number 3 together. So, if you'll tell everybody just a little bit about yourself, and then we can talk about how we met and why we're such good friends and how this all goes together.
All right. Well, I am, my name is Kate, as Tiffany said, and I'm moved to Wickenburg from Denver, Colorado, after living there for many, many years. My husband and I decided to pull the plug on the big city and come down to a smaller town, and it's been a wonderful decision for us. I have one daughter. She is 36, and I have a wonderful son-in-law, so blessed to have him in our lives. And I have one grandson who just turned 8 with me when we went to Disney World this past month. What an exciting time for us. Yeah, it was great. So that's a little bit about me. My husband is wonderful. We're just living the dream here in the WIC.
Isn't that true, right? We are. We're living the dream here. I want to tell everybody how we met. So Kate and I were both participating in a little golf thing called Lady Putters. And after Lady Putters, everybody goes and, you know, joins at this place called the Watering Hole, has a cocktail or a beverage or whatever. And we were sitting next to each other and started chatting and like soul sisters.
It's kind of like the Kenny Chesney song, You Have Me at Hello. We really just made eye contact and then just started chatting as we were beginning to, before we started playing this event. And it's interesting because you don't get to pick your partners during the event. They draw numbers and then match you up. And we had been visiting before, and we ended up being partners. So it was just a kind of a unique, meant-to-be moment for a new friendship.
And one of the things that Kate said to me after the putting and we were sitting is that one of the great things about getting to this age, getting to this place in your life, is that you get to pick your friends, right?
Right. I'm retired, so I'm not in the workforce, and there's not, so you get to just kind of step back and decide who might be good for you and you for them as a friend.
Yeah, and it's unique, especially for women. First, we're young people and our friends are our school friends, and then we're career people and our friends are our career people, and then we get married and then our friends are our career friends and our husband's career friends, and then we have kids and then our friends are the parents of kids that are similar to our kids in age and interest. And so uprooting yourself, or uprooting yourself, moving somewhere where you get to start all over with friends,
it's a really liberating. It can be very liberating, but it can also be very intimidating.
That is an excellent point. It can be very, I mean, you really have to put yourself out there, right? You really have to be willing to take some risk. And so that's why this rule number 3 was really appropriate for the conversation between Kate and I. Make friends with people who want the best for you. Because it is kind of how we chose each other.
Like. Yeah, yeah. And you don't always know that at the beginning. And so we're going to go through and discuss about what does that mean, the best for you? Because I think particularly women, we're always looking out for the best of everyone else. And if you haven't listened to podcast number 2, the rule number 2, it's addressed in the number 2 about women and particularly always taking care of someone else. So trying to look at this concept of how friendship is built from the perspective of your friend wanting the best in you instead of you always one-sided just wanting the best in them, and how that all just blends together.
Right. And how to do it, how to actually do it. So I think one of the things that happens when you're choosing friends, people often choose friends that are not good for them, right? And there's a couple of reasons discussed in the book. So I should, if you haven't read the book, we're not going to go through the book and what Jordan Peterson discusses in the book. Like, there's a lot of meat there, right? We're more interested in sort of exploring why we choose bad friends, and then, or not necessarily bad friends, why don't we choose the best friends?
Right.
And then how do we change that behavior, or how do we focus more on choosing good friends? Some of the reasons people choose not good friends is, or one of them is to, so they can make themselves look better, right? Like smarter, prettier, more athletic, whatever it is.
Right.
Right. That's a common way that people choose who to be friends with, or they are constantly comparing themselves in that way. And it's just a way to make them look better. Talking about good friends, I have this little story that I want to share with you about actually choosing friends. So one of the hard things is you get into relationships. And I think we both had this recent season lifetime thought, right? There's a quote or people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Right.
And sometimes getting rid of friends, we feel bad about that. And so I have this little story that I want to share. So ultimately, it's all about personal responsibility, right? Like you being true to yourself, being true to the people that you're calling friends. So I have a friend who was in a relationship with another gal, Debbie. And every time they did anything together, Debbie talked incessantly just about Debbie. There was never anything there for Gina. And Gina and I, also friends in another relationship, I'm not friends with Debbie, and she would tell me this, Gina would, and I would say, well, why are you putting up with that? Like, what's in that relationship for you? What are you getting out of it that it's important that you think that's still a good use of your time to be doing things with her? And ultimately for Gina, it was that thought of, well, I'd rather have more friends and better friends. Like, what will I do if I don't, you know, she's this person who I do these things with. And so ultimately, Gina decided this is not good. This is not a good thing. And she broke up with Debbie. And she said, here's the reason I don't want to spend time with you anymore. I feel like the relationship is completely one-sided. I mean, if you look at our afternoon today, it was dominated by things that were just all about you. And I'm not interested in moving forward. And then Debbie got very offended. I can't believe you're saying that to me. I'm so offended. And that was, you know, they went their separate ways. And that was, you know, it ended on that sort of hostile note. Well, months later, Gina did get a phone call from Debbie who said, you were right. And when you brought it up, I knew you were right, but I did not want to take responsibility for what I was doing. So I used the I'm offended card and got out of the relationship, but I owe you an apology, and you were right. And it was a great turning point. So instead of losing the relationship, it was kind of put on hold for a while.
A chill out period. Yeah, which can be good.
Which can be great, yeah. Right? And now they're back to being friends. And not only is Debbie more conscious of her relationship with Gina, she's more conscious of her relationships across the board because Gina manned up and said, this isn't good. This
took
is not a good
responsibility.
She took responsibility
for herself. Yeah. When Tiffany was telling me about this story, it's kind of interesting because I have a similar story, but it ended differently. With a friend years ago, and close friends, but over a period of time, I realized, just like Gina did, that it was one-sided and there was no conversation about me. I was always the listener supporter, and and there was no
reciprocal.
Thank you. It's like saying Mississippi, which I can say, but reciprocal giving and taking. And I was, and I would leave that time with that friend feeling pretty empty. So I decided to cowgirl up. I decided I just needed to change the level of the friendship. I didn't want to give up the friendship, but it went from being what I thought was a very close sharing relationship, but that was in my mind, to one that more of, okay, I want to spend time with her. I care for her, but just know when I do, this is who she is, and I'm okay being that person that's on just one side of it. So I almost gave up that friend, but I chose not to.
Right. Well, and I think being conscious of what you're doing is 90% of the battle, right? Rather than continuing through something, not acknowledging your feelings or that person or in those ways is a detriment. You need to understand why you're there in the relationship and what it's doing for you or what you're willing to do for it without becoming a victim.
Exactly.
Of the relationship, without resentment, which in the case of Gina, she was carrying all this resentment into that relationship, and resentment is poison. I mean, it is poison. Poison for your soul.
Yeah.
This idea of choosing people that are friends, who want the best for you. It doesn't mean they're always going to be super nice to you and tell you what you want to hear, right? It kind of means the opposite.
Well, I think my most valued friends, and, you know, I kind of have them in different groups, core friends, which I know they're going to tell me what I don't want to hear because they care about me and they're seeing something happening with me or seeing something going on with me that I'm maybe not facing it. And they're going to be loving and supporting, and they are very loving and supporting, but then they'll also call me out. They'll go, Kate, that's not good. That's not who you are, or you need to get past whatever is happening with me. Kind of help me pull myself back up.
And they will push you in the direction you need to go, or pull you in the direction you need to go, even if it might be detrimental to the relationship, because they know what's the most important thing is what's best for you, right? Like if you're a true friend, you're going to sacrifice what I might sacrifice what's good for me to be a better friend to Kate, right? Like risk her being angry or unhappy or whatever because the reciprocal of that is that your friends know that you're not being mean or nasty or hateful, that you genuinely...
Right. If you're the friends who want the best for each other, you know that.
When it comes to friendship, and those of you who have followed me for a while, you've heard me say this about other things, right? There's three ways to spend your time in a friendship. You can waste your time, you can spend your time, or you can invest your time. And I think that's important. We talk in that same thing about money, but it's true for anything. Your relationships are valuable, and you don't want to waste that. Maybe you want to spend it. Sometimes we're just spending, right?
Right.
Right. Right. I mean, sometimes you do want to waste it. Like sometimes you're just like, I'm just going to do this. This is not my pod or my posse or my group, but it's going to be fun. And I'm not really investing in relationships at that point.
Right.
I'm just wasting my time. It's kind of like watching YouTube, right?
Exactly. I kind of categorize those folks. I have a group of acquaintances.
Right. Right.
And, you know, within those acquaintances, and that's why I love change. So I like going out to new things, like I met Tiffany, and I might have some acquaintances that I see every once in a while. But then certain people, like Tiffany and I, we met and came into that group that's my pod of investing my time. So acquaintances, I just kind of roll with it and spend time with them and enjoy it, but don't have any further expectations or desires.
Right. But if you're like Gina walking with Debbie, she was wasting her time, her relationship time.
Right.
And it's limited. It's all limited. So it's important to keep that in mind too. Here's another question with relationships. Are you trying to rescue someone? Because, man, that's like trying to save an addict, right? It's just not, and then you turn yourself into a victim. And it's good to kind of acknowledge not everyone who is failing is a victim, and not everyone at the bottom wishes to rise. Friendships are a reciprocal agreement. And I usually don't read things from the book, but it really sums up very well what Jordan Peterson has to say about friendship as a reciprocal agreement. Friendship is a reciprocal agreement. You are not morally obligated to support someone who is making the world a worse place. Quite the opposite. You should choose people who want things to be better, not worse. It's a good thing, not a selfish thing, to choose people who are good for you. It's appropriate and praiseworthy to associate with people whose lives would be improved if they saw your life improve. And so often we think that we owe somebody a friendship or we owe a relationship, and really it's not good for anybody. When you start looking at it, if your relationships aren't reciprocal, your friendships, they're probably not where you want to be if you're trying to move your life in a different direction, right? Let's talk about how to apply. How do we apply this rule to our lives? Make friends with people who want the best for you.
I think, you know, how to apply the rule is, I always, when I'm trying to stay on that track of attracting and connect, deciding, am I going to connect as an acquaintance? And I'm going to say, nope, not the right person for me, moving on, or as an acquaintance, move into that core. I always kind of reflect on my past patterns of the friendships that I had that were draining, that and how I got there. Because I always say that I get to choose who I want to be. And that doesn't mean that I am, at some point, I'm me. But if there's something that I want to change, I get to choose. And I think I probably say that to myself about 2 or 3 times a week. I get to choose who I want to be. So I reflect on what energy, and that includes people, I want into my world. So that for me is, how do I do this? How do I apply this? Step number one is, what would I do in the past that didn't work? And why? And what responsibility do I hold for that? And what did I, who are those friends in the past that have become my core group, which I probably have 5 maybe.
Right.
And what have I done, and what have they done for me and I've done for them that might move into that. So that for me is self-evaluation, and it's continuous for me.
Right. And I think that's two important things there. How many friends do you need? And that's different for everybody. But you only have a certain amount of time and energy that you can invest in relationships. And you've got your spouse and your children and your extended family, your parents, what, all those people take an investment of your time. And so back to that first statement of, is it better to have a lot of friends, or is it better to have better friends? Not that you can't have tons of acquaintances. I mean,
sure.
Right. But that, like, choosing, here's my core group, and these are the people that are worth my time and my investment, is one thing. The other thing is, what type of friend are you? Like, when you're trying to choose friends, I think one of the important things to do for application is, are you the type of person that other people that you want to be friends with, or that other people want to be friends with? And so maybe starting out by making that list. What do you, and it's going to be different for everybody, right? What qualities, excuse me, what qualities do you want in a friend? And do you have those yourself, or do you need to work on them? Like Kate was saying, like, I take stock of myself.
Right.
Who am I? What am I? What am I putting out there in the world? And so in terms of application,
I am a huge list maker. I've always been that way. I find the older I get, the more lists I make. And then I make a list of what to make on a list, which then I need to back myself up, because that's ridiculous. Anyway, but when I was going through and reading this, and I thought it was really helpful, and I haven't done it yet, but I need to make the time to make that list of what qualities do I bring to the table.
If you make a list of your strengths, and then you make a list of the friends that you have, and are they the kind of people that you want to focus your energy on? And this is one of the hardest things, I think, for people to do, is to sort of leave a relationship, whether you do it, have to do it kind of boldly like Gina and Debbie, or whether you can just sort of fade away from that relationship.
Right off into the sunset.
Right, exactly. Saddle up and go. So that's the next important step. Are the friends, are my friends the friends that are best for me, or am I hanging on to them for some other reason? So even making that list as well is important.
And as we talk about riding off into the sunset, it's really scary when you figure, when you you just wake up, you know. If you're not sure what to do, what the answer is, just wait. It will come. And then that defining moment going, I got to kind of move away from this one. That's one of the most frightening things for me, because being that empath, I always put myself in their position. I don't want to hurt anyone, ever. I just don't. They can be really mean to me. I still don't want to hurt them. I might in a nanosecond moment when they snark at me or something, but I don't, and I don't want to. I want to be one of the things. I get to choose who I want to be. I want to be a kind, caring person for everyone. Again, going back to that friend that it was just one-sided, I just quit contacting her. And I said, I'm just going to wait and see if she reaches out. If she does, she'll still want to be friends, and then we can define how my friendship goes. Or I get to decide, maybe I don't want to continue it.
You want your friends to have high expectations of you.
Correct.
Because you want to, whatever that is, whatever, on whatever level, and there's so many different sort of, you know, niche-y things about relationships and friendships in general. But I think in terms of applying, one thing I think we kind of dropped the ball on is, what are our goals, and are we sharing those with our friends?
Right.
Right. Are they encouraging you? Are they asking you? And are you putting yourself in that risk position? So one of the reasons we don't share what we want with people is because it obligates us to move forward with that desire.
Right.
Right. If nobody knows what I want and then I don't get it, it doesn't matter, because no one will know. And that is self-defeating, right? One of the biggest, most important things you can do to move yourself in any direction is go public with the direction you want to go, so that people ask you.
I have a great story. When my husband and I first met on our very first date, we sat down and said, okay, these are deal breakers. And he told me something that I wish my father would have told me when I was 10 years old. He said, here's the deal. Men are simple. And I went, okay. And he goes, we don't know what you want. We don't know if you're angry. We don't know anything about you unless you tell us. So that goes to exactly same rule applies. And we have, you know, it's helped me so much in communication with not just him, but with my friends. Do I always follow that rule? No, sometimes I get between my own ears and I'm afraid to say something because I don't want to hurt them, because it's not something easy to just say. So again.
Right. It's hard to be uncomfortable, right? But it's really important if you want to grow in yourself, grow in your relationships. Being uncomfortable is where you want to be most of the time, because it means you are changing and evolving and taking on new challenges and all of those things, which a lot of times people associate with being young and motivated and ambitious and blah, blah, blah. And as you get older, it's not as important, but it is absolutely as important, because you want to continue having a rich life. It might be different things. You know, when you were in business, you might have wanted to be the best HR person on the planet. Now you want to be the best knitter in the group, right? You have still motivation and inspiration and things that are going to move you forward. And sharing those aspirations with friends who will support you, question you, push you in the best possible way is really an important piece.
I think
of that
it is
puzzle.
Too. And particularly in retirement, I miss helping people. Right. I'm biting my tongue all the time trying to they haven't asked for your help. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know, don't go there. If they want your help, they'll ask for your help. And then sometimes I question, well, maybe they do want help. They're just afraid to ask, because we are afraid to ask. So it's finding that balance.
Yes.
And that's why Tiffany mentioned earlier, we're starting to work on something that is going to be really helpful in fulfilling that need for me as I've moved to a new community and new friends. And, you know, hopefully it'll be something where the door's open, come on in.
Right.
I'm happy to help, but you got to walk through the door.
Then we're, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. As we sort of wrap up this rule number 3, make friends with people who want the best for you. some of the ways to get started on that and to apply that in your life. And again, there's a downloadable worksheet. You can add it to your notebook or your journal in the blog post.
If you haven't listened to the first two podcasts, I highly recommend it. Tiffany's son, London, did the first one, and her mom, Tamara, did the second one. But as I was watching it, an awareness came back to me that I had slipped on being here in retirement, and it's just too easy to not think about it because I thought more about it when I was working. I was always...
It's more front and center.
Front and center. You're on stage, all the time in front of people in it. So, but I think they build on each other. So I highly recommend it.
I would agree. I think you learn a little bit in each rule, and then they all kind of they all kind of lock into each other as the more that you...
Oh, come on. London's got me making my bed as soon as I get out of bed in the morning.
I know.
That's just one of the things.
Right.
You get in retirement, I'm going to go in, have a cup of coffee. I'll come back and do it. But you have to listen to the podcast to understand
that, like why that's a big deal.
But thank you, London.
So, yes, the little motivator that is. Okay, so... What are you going to do? You're going to evaluate yourself first. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend should you be? First you're going to make a list of all the qualities that you think are important in a friend. And then you're going to figure out, do I have those qualities? And if you don't, how are you going to work on those? Like, how are you going to get a journal, get your notebook? And it just takes this tiny amount, like making your bed. Going right back to what Kate was saying. It's the same thing. If you need to work on who you are in as a friend, paying attention to it, having that journal or that notebook, and just awareness. Is it at the front of my mind so I can move forward? So what's a good thing to be as a friend? Are you that thing? Are your friends those things?
Right. Should you be keeping them? Change?
Yep.
If your friends aren't those things, is it something that's a deal breaker? Or is it something that you just have a little bit more awareness and kindness and acceptance? Okay.
Of that.
That's fine. You know, this was irritating me, but no, that's who that person is, and it's not a deal breaker.
And if they are somebody who wants the best for you and who's, they have all those other things, some of the other stuff is, becomes just minutia. So
yeah.
It's not important.
You forget about it. You don't see it anymore.
It's not, but if it's causing some resentment or some annoyance or whatever, then maybe that's a bigger thing than what you're acknowledging it to be, right? If some little thing that is bothering you about somebody, it's probably a bigger.
And that means you get the decision is yours. We take responsibility for it. And the decision becomes, do I just kind of wean myself off of them, or do I go and do the really hard work because I really, really want this friendship to work and I value them and I want the best for them. So I'm gonna have that conversation and hope that it goes well and that, Gina and Debbie, that Debbie's coming back and saying, I really want our friendship and you were right.
Right. You were right. I wasn't taking responsibility. And ultimately that is what all of this boils down to. So kind of as a wrap up, it is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to evaluate yourself and your relationships. And then it's your responsibility to decide consciously about moving forward or moving away from those responsibilities.
Absolutely.
Katie, yeah. you want to add
something? Just quickly, we didn't talk a lot about, and Freud mentions it and it's mentioned in the book, about repetitive compulsion. So if you find yourself gathering those same friends that aren't there for you and you're not really, they're not bringing out the best in you and you're not bringing out the best in them, take a moment to, again, figure out why that is. That could be a whole nother podcast,
right?
Just going there. But, but Freud called this a repetitive compulsion, and I'm quoting from the book. He thought of it as an unconscious drive to repeat the horrors of the past, sometimes perhaps to formulate those horrors more precisely, sometimes to attempt more active mastery, and sometimes perhaps because no alternatives beckon. You have alternatives if you're in this position, and that's hopefully what this podcast is going to be able to help you with. tons of podcasts out there, motivational. They've got tons of resources. There's always therapy.
Right.
You know, been there for certain times in my life trying to figure out, I'm stuck, what do I need to do? So, you know, lots of resources.
There's lots of resources out there. And I'll tell you, I have another good friend who has a great, appears to have a great relationship with her husband. And I said that to her. I said, you know what, I love being around you too. You have this really great relationship. And she said to me, oh, don't think for a minute we haven't seen the inside of a therapist's office, right? And so it is important, whether that therapy is professional therapy, whether it's friend therapy or personal therapy, which is kind of what we're talking about too. Like,
right,
there are things you can do for yourself. And the first thing that you can do is make friends with people who want the best for you.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thanks, Kate. I'm so glad that you were here. Really fun.
Loved
Katie
it.
Will definitely be back for other things, for other fun things. So thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in today, for listening or watching. Remember, you can download the worksheet on the blog post at Life in the Wick. This is rule number 3 of Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life. I hope you enjoyed it.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.